Welcome to week 5. I'm glad that you're with us. We're talking about relationship over rules. We're talking about relationship taking priority over rules, which is exactly what Jesus is saying to us as he begins to launch into the meat of the Sermon on the Mount. But before that, he pauses. He pauses, which we looked at last week, to say, now, what I'm getting ready to say and teach and do is it may sound to you like I'm undermining the Old Testament. It may sound to you like I'm abolishing the Hebrew scriptures, God's teachings, his Torah, but that's not at all what I'm doing. I'm actually fulfilling his teachings. I'm showing you the heart of his teachings. I want you to know the heart behind all of these things that you now consider to be laws, perhaps rules to follow. No, that's not it at all. So last week we looked at that. You want to go back and take a look at that. This week we're going to look at what he means by, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What does he mean by that? Thank you for joining us. I'm glad that you're with us. It's going to be a good day. I want to first remind you that you can find out all the things about 721 Ministries. You can go back and pick up these previous YouTube lessons. We are walking through the Sermon on the Mount, so you can just go back and pick up and get back in step with us. You can find those at 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. On that site, you'll find a lot of different things, past radio shows, charts, exercises. We also have a link to our sister website, puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com. On that, you can sign up free of charge for our weekly Putting Green devotional that we send out on Thursdays. You can find our books there that have been, we've got two devotional books and one narrative about Peter. We call it The Missing Link, Peter learning to live, and the other disciples learning to live with the power of the Holy Spirit after Jesus has left. So check us out at 721ministries.org. or puttinggreenblog.com. What are we to make of Jesus saying to his disciples, to the listeners that day on the Sermon on the Mount, unless your righteousness surpasses, goes beyond that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's step back and remind ourselves that we're talking about you will never enter that flow of the kingdom of heaven. We're not talking about going to heaven. This is not a righteousness works salvation issue. Jesus is not anywhere near that. He's saying, if you want to be in the flow, if you want to be in the flow of the kingdom among us, if you're saved, you're living in the kingdom. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, flat out surrendered it, you're living in the kingdom. You've been born again. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That doesn't mean you're always living in the flow of the kingdom. We all spend too much time out of the flow of the kingdom. Instead of living in joy power, we're living in will power. And that's no fun. Instead of living in Holy Spirit power, leaning into and onto the power of the Holy Spirit, learning to do that over time versus living in self power. So we can be in the flow or we can be out of the flow and still be saved in either condition. But life, the life to the full, the life that is truly life, is what's found in the river, the flow of the river of life amongst us in the kingdom. So the first thing we want to ask ourselves is, what is the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? And what would it look like then, the second question, to surpass that, to go beyond that? See, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were the top performers. If you're looking for a list, a checklist religion, and they were sincere about it. They get a bad rap. The Pharisees were very sincere. They thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they were pleasing God. But Jesus came to say, no, you're not. You've missed it. And we've missed it too in our culture. No matter who you are, you live to some degree in the world of performance. In the world of performance as well, in the world of your Heavenly Father and performing for him. We all do it. And what I've learned is as the higher the percentage that you live in the world of performance with your Heavenly Father, then one of two things, neither one good, will be the result. One will be that you will have self-righteousness and pride because you're a good performer. The other is you'll have despair because you're a poor performer. See, that is not what the righteousness that Jesus is looking for looks like. So he in this passage, Matthew 5:20, when he says, unless your righteousness surpasses out of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, immediately after that, he launches into, you have heard that it was said, murder, don't murder. Well, no, I'm telling you, don't even get angry. You've heard that it was said, don't commit adultery. I'm telling you, don't even lust. Don't divorce people just willy-nilly, certainly not to marry somebody else. Don't swear oaths. Don't get revenge. So he's showing us what is the righteousness of the Pharisees, keeping the letter of the law with good intentions, but nevertheless missing the heart, the spirit of the law, the letter of the law, the spirit of the law. So he tells us the letter of the law says, do not commit adultery, but the spirit of the law is that you have a heart that doesn't even get angry. The letter of the law is that you would not commit adultery, but the spirit of the law is that you have a heart that says, I'm not even going to lust. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to flirt. I'm keeping all of that out of my heart. The letter kills, the spirit gives life. We'll see that. At the end of this little section in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, I want you to be perfect, like just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Well, that's a high bar. He starts by setting the bar way too high if we're going to perform our way to please our Heavenly Father by saying we have to surpass the performance of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the top performers. We got to top the top performers. And then he finishes this little section by saying, and I want you to be perfect, like your Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect, which would be despairing unless we understand that perfect in his language meant complete, whole, lacking nothing. Complete, whole, lacking nothing. Not a perfectionist. Not squeaky clean perfect, but whole. Complete. And so he, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he's showing us this is the letter of the law. This is what the Pharisees, this is what the performers do. But here's the heart. And I want you to understand the heart of the law. And that's what we're going to do today. And it is going to be a good day. I think the Holy Spirit has given me some good things for us to talk about and how to think about this. So first question is, what is the righteousness of the Pharisees? And I want you to remember this. The best way to think of righteousness is not right actions. It's being in right relationship. Being in right relationship with your Heavenly Father. Being in right relationship with others, being in right relationship with yourself, being in right relationship with your Heavenly Father's creation. All of these things are involved in being in harmony with life, being righteous, living in right relationship. I just want you to pause for a moment. In the Beatitude, where Jesus says, just as previously said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for righteousness. If that were your governing principle, if that's what where your heart was after, if you were compelled to be in right relationship, to have that harmony with your Heavenly Father and Jesus, with others, with yourself, if it were your oxygen, if you had to have it, if it were visceral for you, that this is where your heart was, you couldn't stand to be out of relationship, how much of your bad behavior would disappear? How much of the mistakes that you make, the things that you say, the things that you do would disappear if you were compelled from the heart to be in a right relationship with your Heavenly Father and Jesus, with yourself, and with others? I venture to say 95%, if not 100%, would be gone. I guess we'll leave a little room for those spur-of-the-moment things, those sins that happen before we even know we're sinning, because we're human. But you know, a huge percentage of your mistakes, your bad behavior, would disappear if you were governed by right relationships versus right actions. We talk a lot about being in the flow of the kingdom among us versus being out of the flow. I want to show you, I'm going to pop up for a screen share on this. Here we have righteousness equals right relationships with God, with others, with self and creation. When you're in the flow, you're following the spirit of God's teachings. When you're out of the flow, you're following the letter of the law. So we want to understand that the translation law is a terrible translation. It's a terrible translation. Do you hear me? It is a terrible translation. In the Old Testament, when you see law, the Hebrew word there is Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Torah. That is, specifically means the first five books of the Bible, Moses' first five books. But it also really means it can apply to the entire Old Testament. Torah to the Jews and from their Heavenly Father meant God's teachings, his way of life that is truly life. They didn't think of it in terms of laws, at least not at the outset. But because we're human, we turn them into laws. We turn them into rules. But when you think of law, get that out of your mind. It is God's teaching, your Heavenly Father's teachings to you so that you would understand his way of life, because he wants you to have the best life possible, the life that is truly life, the life to the full. Now, just as a side note, his teachings, his way of life, they carry the weight of law. And many of us have found that when we violate those commandments, those teachings, we suffer. I think more often than not, we are punished by our sins more than we are for our sins. More often than not, I think we're punished by the sin versus for the sin. I think of it in basketball. If you were going to learn to play basketball, if you want to learn to play tennis, the new sport now is pickleball. There are rules that you must follow in basketball if you step out of bounds, in tennis if you step on the line when you're serving, if you double fault, if you hit it out of bounds. There are rules you have to follow. If you don't follow those rules, there will be consequences. But the rules aren't the heart of the game. It's like back in basketball when you're first learning, or any sport, but I'm just thinking of basketball. When you're first learning an offense, the coach wants you to run this kind of offense. Well, you have to learn that I pass the ball to the right, I go to the left, I set a pick. When my man comes off the pick, I roll down through the middle, I set another. You have to learn those basic details. But there's no joy in that. The fun, the joy, the success is when it all flows naturally. And that's what Jesus is getting at. I think in terms of cooking, I cannot cook. I can scramble eggs. I can fry eggs. I can make grits. I can grill hamburgers and things like that. But if it takes more than one or two steps, I'm out. If you gave me a recipe and watched me prepare that dish, you would watch me staring obsessively at that recipe, being sure I was following everything. All the rules, all the details, all the steps. And I think about Benicia, who worked for my mother's parents, or Francis, who was with us all those years. And you would, if you went to him and said, could you give me the recipe for this dish that you make, this macaroni and cheese, which is unbelievable, or Francis's brown rice, which I just love to this day. Well, they would both give you, they start you off with the ingredients, but then they would say something like, and when it gets to this point, when you bring it to a boil, put a pinch of this in there. Well, what's a pinch? Well, just a pinch, you'll know. And then I want you to simmer it down, and then I want you to get this. And you're sitting there saying, well, I need you to write this down specifically. That's not the joy of cooking, is it? Jesus didn't get bogged down in the details. He did not tell us, do this, do this, do this. In this situation, I want you to act this way. No, he gave us his heart. He said, if you follow that, you'll end up living the right way. So back to the in the flow, out of the flow. When we follow the spirit of his teachings versus the letter of the law, we're in the flow. When we follow the heart versus the details, we're in the flow. When we live a presence-based life, a conversational walk through life, talking with Jesus and our Heavenly Father about what we're doing together, a presence-based life versus a principle-based life. We're in the flow or out of the flow. When we live in, when right relationships govern our lives, we're in the flow. When right actions govern our lives, we're out of the flow. We want to be in the flow. We want to taste that life that is truly life. We want to understand the heart behind all of these teachings that have been handed down to us. Because we're can-do Americans, and we like a list. And if you show me the rules, I'm going to follow the rules. But there's no heart in that. There's no life in that. 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter of the, but of the Spirit. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Look at this language. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter kills. Kills life. Kills joy. Kills harmony and balance. No. The letter kills. The Spirit gives life. I gave you the translation also from the Passion. I almost always use the NIV. That's just my go-to. The Passion. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on an entirely new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. I want to share with you this new covenant, because this is not new news to us. It wasn't new news to the folks in the New Testament. It was right there in the Old Testament all along in Jeremiah 31:31. I'm going to put this on the screen for you. Jeremiah 31:31. Listen to this language. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel, with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, held their hands, gave them the rules. Because they were infants. They didn't know any better. I took them by the hand and I led them out. I gave them rules, but they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. Here it comes. I will put my Torah in their minds, my teachings in their minds, and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord. Because they will all know me, because I've written it in their hearts. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. What God is saying there is, I am going to bring a time where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. It lives in a believer. Indwells is the theology word. And you won't have to have people telling you what to do. You won't have to have people showing you the law, teaching you. You will, from the heart, when you learn to live with the power of the Holy Spirit, you will learn to lean on and live through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it will be no longer about following rules. It'll be following your heart, because your heart is in the right place. That's all the way back in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament. Jesus said, I've come not to abolish any of that, but to fulfill it, for you to see. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So let's jump to some ideas about the letter versus the Spirit. Now, I want you to know that I started working on these lessons over the weekend, and I got behind on Monday. I had several other things that I wanted to do, but also had to do. And so I was asking the Holy Spirit, give me some examples. Show me how to do this. I don't want this to be dry. I think we all pretty much can distinguish between the letter of a law versus the Spirit of God's teachings. And so I went down to Lawrence yesterday, and we did the men's meeting in Lawrence, and I got about half of what I'm getting ready to show you. And I got up early this morning. I prayed about it last night. I said, Holy Spirit, give me some creativity here. We always talk about Holy Spirit power being energy, clarity, and creativity. I said, help me with this. And as he always seems to do, he just started downloading ideas and ideas. So I got a bunch of them. And we won't go through every one of them in detail. Some of these could be 1 or 2 week discussions. But the difference between the letter of the law and the Spirit of the law. And then I'm going to take it one step further. I'm going to say, let's talk about what living under the law, how lifeless that can be, what's better than that, and what is even better than better, what is best. Let's take a look at this list. Let's do this together. Okay, the letter of the law versus the Spirit of the law. I read this in a devotional by Oz Hillman, the letter of the law is principle and performance based. We spoke about this earlier. The spirit is presence based. I live with his spirit with me and with my heavenly Father and Jesus walking with me. In them, I live and breathe and have my being. The letter is about rules. The spirit is about relationship. Under the letter of the law, the gospel message is the glass half empty. Under the spirit of the law, it's not the glass half full. It's the glass totally full and overflowing. Under the letter of the law, I'll be good enough. I'll be good enough. God grades on the curve. I'll be good enough. I'm surely not as bad as most people. Versus the spirit, which is only by and through his grace. That's how I live and breathe and have my being. The letter of the law is willpower. The spirit of the law is joy power. The letter of the law is self-power. The spirit of the law is Holy Spirit power. The letter of the law, which we will see over the coming weeks, no murder, no adultery, no divorce, just willy-nilly a divorce, no revenge. The spirit is don't even get angry. Don't lust. Don't try to get even with anyone. Instead, try to bless them. Try to help them. We're going to talk about those in detail. The letter of the law is restriction. The spirit of the law is freedom. In Galatians 5, it was for freedom that God set you free. It was for freedom. Most people don't think of following Jesus as something that is freeing. If it's the letter of the law, it is restricting. But if it's the spirit of your Heavenly Father, your loving Heavenly Father's teachings, it's freedom. I hope you'll learn that and learn to live that. The letter of the law is what I cannot do. The spirit of the law is what I can do. The letter of the law is what I can get away with. The spirit of the law is what do I want to stay away from? You see, if murder is my guardrail, I'm not going to murder. I'm going to stop before I murder someone. Let's don't say that because none of us, most of us, I'm sure, I hope every one of us will never murder anyone, but we might hit somebody or we might push somebody or pop somebody. If that's my guardrail, there's a whole lot of bad behavior before that, isn't there? I mean, if I'm not going to hit you, but I'm not even going to yell at you, but I'm going to freeze you out. I'm going to cold shoulder you to death. Does that fall under the spirit of the law? It's not what I can get away with. It's what I want to stay away from. I don't want any of that in my heart. So as I was preparing this and thinking about it, I thought, okay, letter and spirit, that's good. I mean, that's helpful. I hope you'll look at these and think about them. I'll include them. You can find these on our website when the YouTube channel. But then I thought, well, let's go a little further. Let's look at what might be lifeless, what might be better, what might be best. Lifeless under the letter of the law. So I thought, well, okay, now you say God, and I don't mean there's anything wrong with the name God, but it is an impersonal name. It's Creator God. It's not Yahweh, my Heavenly Father. So you say, God, that's kind of lifeless. Better is my Father. Even better than that, best is my loving Daddy. That's what Jesus said, Abba, Father. My loving Heavenly Father. That's best. When you pray, do you go to your Heavenly Father as God, my Father, or my Daddy? You know, when Jesus said you must become like a child to enter the flow of the kingdom of heaven, I want to encourage you in your prayers to realize and to envision and to think about yourself as a child approaching his Heavenly Father or her Heavenly Father. Be a little child. I know us men, we have to be strong and we have to put on a front. And we have to be successful and show no weaknesses whatsoever. And ladies, you're certainly better than that, not having to act that way than we are. But can we go to our Heavenly Father as a child? Daddy, I want to be with you. I want to talk with you. I want to share my concerns with you. Lifeless, Christ. Christ is his title. It's not his name. I'm not trying to say you should never say the name Christ, but it's not his name, it's his title. Jesus is his name. That's far better. Even better than that is he's my best friend. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my best friend. Lifeless as I got to. better as I get to, best as I want to. Lifeless is under with respect to truth, I won't lie, but I may manipulate a little bit, but I'm not going to lie. Better as I'll tell the truth. Best as I'll always tell the whole truth. I'll be transparent in everything. Lifeless, I won't sin purposely. Now, we're all going to sin. That's why I was very purposeful in saying I won't sin purposely. Better is I'll seek to obey, not just to avoid sin so that I don't get in trouble with my Heavenly Father, but I want to obey Him. Even better than that is I want to please Him. I want to honor Him. I want to bring Him joy with the way I live. That's best. Letter versus the Spirit. Lifeless, better, best. How about this one? I'll forgive, but I won't forget, which means you haven't forgiven, by the way. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Better is I'll release it completely. I'll release them. They don't owe me anything. I'm not holding anything against them. I'm not holding a grudge inside. I've released this thing completely. Best is I'll actually restore the relationship. You know, throughout the New Testament, when you see for the word forgive, you're seeing the Greek word aphemi, and its principal connotation is to release, release. So when Jesus says at the end of the Lord's Prayer, unless you forgive, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. That translation cannot be accurate because we are forgiven, past, present, and future. We just read that in Jeremiah. No, think of the word release. Unless you release others, your Heavenly Father won't release you from the jail you've put yourself in, which we'll see Jesus talk about in just a week or two. But I'll actually go and restore. That word forgive is charizomai, and you find it in Colossians 3. Forgive as your Heavenly Father forgave you. Restore the relationship when you can. Not just release it, but actually seek to restore the relationship. Lifeless, I won't hate. Better is, I'll be nice when I have to. That's better than hating. But best is when I'll actually bless them. I'll seek to bless them. I'll pray for them. I'll see if I can help in any way. Are you seeing what I'm saying about going from the letter, it kills, to the Spirit gives life? I'll give when I'm asked. That's lifeless. I'll tithe and I'll give. That's better. I will look for ways to be generous. I'll look for ways to be generous. That's best. I won't manipulate or rationalize in the way I talk with people, trying to get my way, subtly get my way by using many words and various techniques. Better is I won't swear to God on anything. To convince you that I'm telling you the truth, I won't swear to God or on my mother's grave, any of that nonsense. Best is what we see Jesus saying in the Sermon on the Mount. I just let my yes be yes, my no be no. You can trust my yes is yes, and you can trust my no is no. I'm not going to try to manipulate the situation or justify or rationalize or vindicate. With our wife and our children and others, we'll finish up this way. With my wife, well, I won't cheat on her. Or my husband, I won't cheat on him. That's lifeless. Better is, I won't even lust. I will never flirt. I won't even look. Best is, I will always tell her she's beautiful. I want her to know that she is the most beautiful woman in the world to me. If I'm a wife, I will encourage him. I will tell him how proud I am of him, how much I respect him, how great he is. Children. You know, lifeless is, I need some me time, children. I need some me time now. Just give me some me time. Better is, I'll give them some of my time. When they ask for it, I'll give them my time. I'll freely give them my time when they ask for it. Best is, I will look for ways. I will pour into them to let them know I adore them, that I respect them, that I'm proud of them, that I admire them. I'll look for ways to pour into them. I'll look for ways to give them my time. That's life. That's the spirit of the teachings. I did add something in here I want you to be very careful about. I'll do all those things apart from their performance. Because when we only compliment and praise our children when they've done something well, then we train them without meaning to perform for us, to get our love and affection and our praise. And we can fall into that trap with our Heavenly Father. So we do this apart from. here's a few more and then we'll be done. I will only hurt when she hurts me or he hurts me. Better is I won't hurt anyone. Best is I'll be their biggest cheerleader. I won't get angry. Better is I'll try to be patient. Best is I'll be, as James would say, quick to listen, slow to speak, really slow to become angry. Won't raise my voice. I'll be careful what I say. Again, I'll be slow. I will never get angry. Speak my mind. I'll just be open and blunt with people. No, I won't say any cutting remarks. That's better. Even best is I will encourage and I will compliment. How about this for husbands and wives? Even for children, even for people who are in your sphere of influence, your friends. Well, I'll do my part. That's lifeless. I'll do her part if I have to. That's better. Another way of saying it is I'll do my part even if she doesn't do her part, or he, vice versa. Better is I'll do both parts. I'll look for ways to help. I'll look for ways to serve. That's life. That's best. This last one, I'll keep my evidence file to myself. You know, we as humans, we hold on to an evidence file, and when we get in an argument, we start pulling the evidence out. You did this, you said this, and here it comes. What we see in 1 Corinthians 13 is I will keep no record of wrongs. That's certainly better. But even best is I will view her or him or them in a light most favorable to them. My friends, Jesus pauses before he really gets into the meat to say, I want you to live by the spirit of the law. You cannot outperform the Pharisees. That is not the righteousness I'm looking for. It's not right actions. It's right heart. It's not right actions. It's not right performance. It's right relationship. As you read the scriptures, remember, it's all good news. And if at any point it looks like bad news, don't look for the gospel. Don't try to find the bad news. Look inside, because you've gone to rules. You've gone to restriction instead of relationship, instead of freedom. I'm going to finish with one last passage, and then this will be our jumping off point for next week. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. I think Jesus said, I'd come to fulfill the law, not abolish it. The commandments, you shall not commit murder, you shall not adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That sounds like righteousness. That sounds like right relationships. Thank you for being with us. Stay tuned next week. We're diving and going deeper. Grace and peace be with you, my friends.